the scriptures yet. I'm just sharing some thoughts from my heart. But I want you to go to Acts chapter 20 this morning, just for one phrase. And this session, Pastor, gets done at 10:40. Okay, we have 10 minutes. Nope, 10 minutes is fine. We talked about this last night with Pastor, that God is the author of time also. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. What that means is when the Spirit is leading me to speak, he also can lead me to shut up. And sometimes the Spirit does not want me to talk. My wife tells me I talk too much. It's true. She's usually always right. Usually. Acts chapter 20. This is that sermon of Paul to the elders. You know, I'm always amazed at these kind of sermons. Why? Look at it, verse 17. We're not going to read it all. But just look at it. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all seasons. I like that because of his transparency. He brings the wisest men of the church. He brings the most mature men of the church, the elders. And he says to them, you know my life when I was at Ephesus, all seasons. When he says all seasons, he's not speaking of summer, winter, spring, and autumn. He's speaking about the good times, the abundance, the times when I didn't have enough to eat, the times when I was joyful, the times when I was sad, the times when I wanted to throw in the towel, when I wanted to get up. According to Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul was most discouraged in all his ministry was at this church, Ephesus. And God used one man, just one man, to encourage the Apostle Paul to sustain his ministry, which was his longest ministry of all his ministries, was the church of Ephesus. He says he was there 3 years. And he labored night and day with many tears in the church of Ephesus. But he was most discouraged with desires to quit when he was at Ephesus. And God sent to his door very often somebody that knocked. His name was Onesiphorus. And Paul tells Timothy, you remember how many times he encouraged us, and much more you, while we were at Ephesus. Now Paul says to them, he's going to speak a little brief sermon about his time at Ephesus. But his foundation isn't Friday and Saturday studying a sermon for Sunday morning to share with God's people. His foundation of this sermon is based on his life of 3 years, transparency. He says, you know what I have been in all seasons. So he just starts to talk about his life in Ephesus, how I went about ministry. It's tremendous when you read it. But I just want to touch one phrase here. Notice verse 19. Verse 19 is a particular text because in the original language, when you look up, I have in my study, I have a KJV, Interlinear Greek New Testament. And sometimes this happens, that in the Greek, because of either one word or more than one word, the translation of the word that in the English writers put, they had to put three words to make one, for example. And it happens here in verse 19 when it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying awake of the Jews. I've shared this many times, but he says here, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and that's the mind of the servant. We can't even begin to speak of that. But then he says, with many tears, that's the heart of the servant. And then he says, many temptations, that's the body of the servant. So he speaks of three aspects of the servant of Christ: his mind, his heart, and his physical afflictions, his body. Now he says, with all humility of mind, the serving of the Lord with all humility of mind. How many words is it in the English language? Let's count. Serving, one. The, two. Lord, three. With, four. All, five. Humility, six. Of, seven. Mind, eight. That phrase in the Greek has only seven words. And the word humility of mind is a divided word that has been put in the KJV correctly. One is low esteem, and the other is thinking, which means I don't think much of myself. So the Apostle Paul was saying that I was called to serve the Lord. But it is interesting because he's writing the church of Ephesus, and what he says is, I was 3 years serving the church of Ephesus. He doesn't say that. We sometimes get confused that we're in Stratton and we're serving the church of Stratton. No, we're not. Because that's discouraging. If you are serving God's people in Stratton and think you're serving them, you'll get discouraged. Because there'll be all kinds of ups and downs in that area. But Paul said that he was in Ephesus serving the Lord. He said that to the Corinthians, he was serving the Lord in Corinth. He was serving the Lord in Galatia. He was serving the Lord in Rome. He was always serving the same person. Now, when you always serve the same person, you can't. Because that person has not yet rewarded you. Because his reward is waiting unto eternity. Now, there's blessings on the way. I'm not saying that. But Paul said he was serving the Lord when he was at Ephesus. He was serving the Lord when he was with the Galatians. He was serving the Lord when he was at Corinth. He was serving the Lord when he went to Thessalonica or Philippians or Colossians. He was serving the Lord with all humility. Let me say this to you this morning. What makes, I've thought it out over the years, what makes us with this spirit of humility of mind? Well, to me, the number ones begin with the concept of John the Baptist. And he said, a man can receive nothing except to be given from heaven. Paul said it this way: men ought not to think of us more than it is written. That was a common thing. They were thinking of Paul more than it was written. They were thinking of Apollos more than it was written. He said, men ought not to think of us more than it is written. Now he said this: for who maketh you to differ? And what have you that you have not received? Now if you received it, Paul said, why do you glory as though you had never received it, as though it is your own? My dad years ago used to tell me a phrase always: there is the curse of abundance, but there is the blessing of lack. Let me share it to you this way. Deuteronomy chapter 8, God takes his people, before he takes them into the land, he said, when you have abounded and have houses and cows and land and abundance, be careful that your heart be not exalted and say, my hand has gotten me this. For it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee. Every single thing you have in life, except one thing, is his. There's one thing that he never gave you. It's yours and yours alone. What is it? David said in Psalm 51, he called it his possession. He said, my what? My sin. That's mine. You want to glory in something? You want to call something yours? It's your sin. That's yours. The rest is his. It's God. And he has granted to you. In the book of Hosea, chapter 2 and verse 8, God said, I gave them the wine, I gave them the bread, I gave them the wheat that they took and offered to Baal. I will take my wine, I'll take my bread, I'll take what is mine and take it from them, and they will recognize that it was mine and not theirs. Let me tell you something. What makes a man humble in the scriptures is a man that acknowledges that everything he has is God's, not his. That he's the owner, that he's the possessor, and that understanding that, and that it's all been gifted, all been given to me, Christ said, freely you have received. The word there is a word interesting in the Greek. It means without a cause. So what that means? That means this, that without a cause, God has given you all things. When you read Romans 3:24, it says, we are freely justified through faith. What does freely justified mean? The word freely justified is without a cause. It's tied to John 15, verse 24, that says, they hated me without a cause. So as man can't find a cause to hate God, so God can't find a cause to love you. Don't look for a cause for his love. There's none there. You were loved without a cause. That's grace. So you can't add to the cause of grace. Because grace has loved you without a cause. You better be thankful for that. Because if God starts to find a cause in you for love, he will have to cast you into eternal hell. There was no cause for his love. So there's no cause for our hate towards him. We can't find a cause. Well, listen to me. Christ said in Matthew chapter 10, freely you have received, without a cause, freely give. Don't take the gospel to the ones you think should merit it or deserve it. Christ said, as I have abounded you without a cause, you better go and give that I've given to you to others without a cause. Don't be looking for causes. Give it freely. The apostle Paul said, I served the Lord with all humility of mine. Why? Number one, because I acknowledge that everything I have and all is his. Is his. Let's stop right here. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you.